This is Peter Tubbs of Market to Market. The following discussion is driven by your comments and questions. Keep sending your inquiries to markettomarket@iowapbs.org and watch on our YouTube channel or Facebook page of Market to Market Show.
Welcome into the Friday, September 17, 2021 Market Plus. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Sue Martin. Sue, you made a drive down. I did a little drive yesterday. Did you see anybody in the field?
No.
You expect to see him soon in Iowa?
Oh, yes.
You're hearing everybody's poised.
I think next week, even maybe starting tomorrow on Saturday and on into Friday, we should be starting to see a lot of combines rolling, especially in soybeans. But farmers have been trying to get the corn, too, one, because of stock quality, but especially to take care of those basis bids that are so premium to the futures right now at ethanol plants and end users.
And yes, that's what I've heard. End users are making some ridiculous bids that normally they wouldn't make this time. What's the mood of the farmer that you've talked to right now?
I think so far they seem pleasantly surprised that the crop's a little better than they thought. Now, keep in mind that's in a bad, maybe more vulnerable, poor area. But the other kicker was, and we've seen it help corn respond to it, was out of Illinois, who, you know, everybody's thought Illinois was such a stellar state this year. And truthfully, I'm wondering if it isn't going to end up being Indiana. But
that performs better, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
But what we're hearing out of Illinois was still good yields, just not what the farmers were thinking they were going to have. And light test weights, and we'll see some of that in Iowa.
Yeah.
The kicker in Iowa, we have to go back to last year. And what helped that yield in Iowa go down? It was the derecho. And unlike beans, the derecho didn't hurt the beans hardly at all, unless you had hail. But the corn, it did. And so there was many empty fields or fields that couldn't be salvaged. So therefore, the poor yields to the north, which yields were okay, they were good, just not as good as the year before, they didn't have any help. Now this year, anything poor is going to be compensated with the derecho areas, which, by the way, happens to be the same path that all the rains kind of followed this year.
Right. And in some of those fields, you do see the volunteer corn that they weren't able to knock out.
That's
There's plenty
right.
of that in those bean fields. So they're going to be a mess there. Are we in a mess in the feeder market right now? Or is there optimism in feeders?
I would have to say there's optimism because you look at the sales and they're hanging in there pretty good. In fact, it was sort of surprising to see the feeder market break like it did when you had corn breaking. Now, that said, you didn't see feeders break a whole lot more while the corn market took off of the supply-demand report. So I think that at the end of the day, we look at feeder cattle, and I think there's such optimism for next year's markets that I think that's kind of creating a demand for the feeder market. I look at wave counts, and on November feeders, we're not super far from some major wave counts. But I wouldn't be surprised if this market, especially in fats, tries to work its way back down into October. And there we could strike a major low, and then the burden of proof will be on the December contract. If it can come out of there and start flying, you might see the December contract go to new highs. I just don't see the bottom in here just yet.
Okay. You mentioned a couple things, and I want to reflect back to the beginning of the broadcast show. Reading a little deeper on the Consumer Price Index report and the retail sales. Retail sales was a major rise online. Less people are going out to eat. Less people they're taking meals to go. They're back to cooking more back at home. What is going to be the impact long term on protein, whether it is in the live cattle market, if it's going to be in the hog market? Is it too early to tell?
I think the long term effect, one thing that came out of COVID last year was in the cities, people were used to stopping at the local locker and buying what they needed and fixing it at home. Now, they have freezers. And so they're going to fill those freezers. They aren't going to leave them sit empty. And they got used to that, and they're going to kind of like that, being able to go and get out of their freezer what they need. I think underneath that's a subtle support factor for the meat markets, especially beef and of course, pork. But the other thing is, look at all the immigration we've got coming. We have huge immigration. And, you know, you don't see very many countries that you can import or immigrate in illegally and stay. But we have it. And these are meat eaters. And they like pork, they like chicken, but they love beef.
Well, and, you know, we're fighting several parts on that story. And I guess I haven't seen everything about, you know, who's coming. I mean, but there's population shifts and changes happening in many parts of the country. In the southern part of the United States, quickly on cotton, do you see dramatic movement? We've been stuck kind of in a range. We haven't been able to break through. Is that lid ever going to be lifted or are we done?
Well, I think if you look at December cotton, first off, I think the weather has played a hand in that with all these storms that have come through in cotton country. And I think that you have to worry about quality to the cotton bulls and what have you. But when I look, for example, like December cotton, 96.70 has been our high, contract high, I think. And there is resistance around that $97 mm-hmm. area. If you get through that, the next tough resistance is 103.40, something like that. I would be pushing some hedges here because I do think cotton acres are going to go up next year.
Okay. Bean acres. We talked a little bit about beans. I do have a Facebook question or a Twitter question. Matt in Amherst, Wisconsin. Thank you, everybody, for all these questions. I'm just not going to get them all in this week. I'm going to do my best. Matt asks, what's the bean price going to be with 200 million acres of soybeans next year? Again, we're on a little bit of an assumption. You have to, A, do you buy the 200 million acres next year?
I don't know.
When will we know? This winter?
I think we'll have a better idea. I think everybody wants to focus on our acres as the driving price for beans. I think what we have to do, and it might be this way on corn too, but on beans especially, we have to go back and start looking at Brazil. 2/3 of that country's crop area is below normal moisture in soil. 50% of it is in drought status. And October is their rainy season. So if they've had some showers this year, this fall, or start of this fall, it's their spring, but they've had some showers where last year they didn't have them, but they haven't amounted to much. But when they get into October, if they remain dry, you're going to see this market become a little bit more enthusiastic because we are tight supplied, very tight stocks. And in the meantime, they've had a bad year, but their beans wasn't so bad. It was the corn that production that suffered. So if they turn around and all of a sudden they start turning dry again, and they're now into the time frame that they should be planting or starting to plant, you're going to have this market sit up and take attention.
Okay, that brings up a good point that Gary's asking. You're asking Gary in Wilton, Iowa, how much of my 2022 crop should I be selling this fall? Prices look good now. Given what you just said about South America.
I wouldn't do it. I would not sell. Remember, I'm the girl that back in February kind of opened my mouth, you know, but out came what I think. And it's all how you get there. But I would not be selling crops ahead in 2022. It's too early. If my weather sources are right and we're drier next year, oh my goodness. You know, we had cool nights and dewy mornings, which was very good for the beans and probably good for the corn too, but good for the beans. Mm-hmm. What if we don't have that next year? And if you depend on how this, I would be more interested in South America because I really don't think this next year is going to bode well for the U.S. farmer as far as production. So therefore, I would not put myself into that spot just yet.
All right. We've talked about Brazil. Let's talk about China with our last question. Phil in Dresden, Ontario. U.S. crop is huge, corn crop. That really means we need Chinese corn demand back. However, is it coming back? Or have the Chinese replaced corn and feed? Have they replaced corn with feed wheat? Sorry, is the 26 million metric tons of corn slated to be exported to China from last week's WASD wishful thinking?
No, I think China will be in for the corn. Again, I go back to their fuzzy math of how they produce. And remember, all the flooding, some of it was off of them releasing waters out of reservoirs, dams, that, and most of them are all built in the countryside. But they were doing it to save the dams mm-hmm. because of so much rain. But then they flooded out acres. They have a lot of poor quality wheat, feed wheat, which is being interfused or interchanged with corn feed. But I don't think that's the total wherewithal. Remember, China has a larger poultry production, and nobody talks about that. You know, and that started in 2019 when African swine fever became very well known. They got with the program and ramped up production, and they're not going to reel that back down. They're going to keep it very aggressive. In the meantime, their pork production is coming back, and you've got, of course, you've got the Dominican Republic having issues, and we're exporting pork to them, but you've got Germany with a real bad problem, and so China's not, and most of Asia is not going to import German pork. But in the meantime, they are expanding their numbers, and that's going to be, I think you're going to see, remember they talked about back in June, maybe it was, that they weren't going to be feeding as much soy meal.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, right. You know, so here we go. But I think they'll be importing corn. I think they need most everything. And here's the thing. What is their storage facilities like where all that flooding was? You know, these were major producing provinces. And I think they're going to, I think China needs everything again, just like they did last year.
Sounds familiar. All right. Appreciate the time, Sue. Thank you so much. Good
Thank
to see you.
Thank you.
All right. That'll do it for Market Plus. That's Sue Martin, by the way. Sorry, I'm Paul. Next week, we look at pushing past the pitfalls of urban farming, and Ted Seifert will be in that chair, and he'll join us to analyze the markets. Thank you so much for watching or listening or reading this podcast. We'll see you next time. Have a great week.